He's got the whole world in his hands. This anonymously written American, African-American spiritual hymn has existed for many years and in several versions. Since it was first published in 1927, it has been covered by countless artists and is the only song to reach number one in the U.S. pop charts way back in 1957, when it was sung by a young British teenager named Lori London. The song starts with, "He has the whole world in his hands," and then it progresses to, "A tiny little baby in his hands," and then, "You and me, brother, you and me, sister," in his hands. And lastly, "He's got everybody in his hands." Well, we could keep going and going and list everything that he has in his hands. Wind and rain, sun and moon, rivers and mountains are some of the alternatives that I found. Of course, the "he" and "he's got the whole world in his hands" is our Lord himself. This hymn is a hymn of trust, in the Lord's hand, even when the circumstances of this fallen world seem to be set against God's people. How well, then, does the Psalm 95 state what this hymn proclaims? "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." If these verses sound familiar to you, they should, because it is the Venite from our Matin service. And they do indeed declare that everything of all creation is in the Lord's hand. Our very lives are in his hands, including our past, our present, and our future. From the beginning of creation to the end of the world, everything is in the Lord's hands. But oh, how we wrestle to get control from God's hands and try to put it in our own. We can sometimes get this illusion that things are in our control. A CNN article from 2018 called "The Illusion of Control: Why the World is Full of Buttons That Don't Work" makes this point very well. It illustrates our desire to have control over everything. In some cities, there's an incredible number of crosswalk buttons that actually do not work, and there may be no real incentive to fix them. The article goes on to state that there are buttons all around us that are essentially placebo buttons that give us the illusion of control. You know, you've all pressed that little button, that the little close elevator door button. Does it actually really do anything? The door seems to close on its own in its own timing, no matter how many times we press that little button. But by pressing it, it makes us feel control over this capsule that takes us up or takes us down. I've heard of fake thermostats on office walls so that the people that work there feel that they're able to control the temperature. We so often surround ourselves with things that give us the illusion that we are in control. We are easily consumed by those constant dings and buzzes and alarms, by the little devices that we keep in our pockets that tell us new message or new reminder or breaking news. It collectively adds up to task after task. You feel that you should be getting somewhere, responding to important matters and acquiring information to understand the world. But it often feels more like that our hands are tied at the end of each day. Now add on top of all the things that you know that you have no control over, such as the awful things that happen in the world, and it may make us want to just throw up our arms in despair. Maybe, just maybe, we start to wonder, does he really have the whole world in his hands? Because there are many times when our attempts to explain things just will not do. John the Baptist proclaimed the truth in our reading this evening. John knew the Messiah was coming and was now here. He boldly could proclaim, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Just as we said in our midweek service last week, Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is before all, and all things have been created through him. Here John is echoing that truth. If you want to know God, look at Christ. To hear the words of Christ is to hear the words of God. The Father has sent the Son and loves the Son, and all things have been given into his hand. In fact, there is this artistic tradition in which Christ holds a globe, which would illustrate this point. God does indeed have the whole world in his hands. He is king. He has authority over all things. But first, Jesus had to come in humility. The world looked at him and laughed and jeered as they mocked him, as they spit on him, as they crucified him. That's what our hands have done. "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross," they said. On that Good Friday, it sure didn't look like he had the whole world in his hands. But if you've ever seen the Eisenheim altarpiece, which depicts Christ's crucifixion, then you would have noticed that John the Baptist is depicted in that scene, even though he physically or historically wasn't there. The artist chose to include him to state this truth. John is depicted with an abnormally long and extended finger pointing to Jesus on the cross, holding a scroll with the words, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John knew his place. He was to be the finger pointing to God. Like Moses pointing to the serpent elevated on a pole, John is depicted as pointing to Christ, the one who brings eternal salvation from our sins, elevated on the cross. The hand of the Lord was really and actually in control this whole time. The whole world was in his hands when he was enacting salvation for the sake of the whole world. He has healed us through his suffering. He has brought us salvation through his crucifixion. He has brought us forgiveness through his death. He brought us justification as he was raised on the third day. He ascended into the right hand of the Father, where he now reigns. And one day, the whole world will know that he does, in fact, have the whole world in his hands. And Jesus' hand is still at work today in his church, baptizing, preaching, teaching. Jesus' hand is at work when the young and old alike have the promises of baptism poured out upon their heads. Jesus' hands are at work when his body and blood are delivered into our mouths to eat. Jesus' hands are at work when he opens the scriptures to teach us the very words of God. Our whole lives are in his hands. This also means something for us and how we are to use our hands in this world. We certainly do not have ultimate control over this life. Yet at the same time, the Lord uses our hands in our daily vocations at home, at work, and in society. And in the church, to love and serve one another. Knowing that our eternal lives are in His hands gives us the freedom to reach out and deliver His many gifts to those that are in need. Everything really is in Jesus' hands. All of history is in His hands. Our lives are in His hands. Our futures are in His hands. Your salvation is in His hands. As the hymn says, He's got the whole world in His hands. Amen.